This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hanson. FantasyPoints.com, the program, as always, produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. Big program forthcoming. We'll break down last night. A little frustrating, but once again, we're totally on the right track. So we'll talk DC Commanders and KC Chiefs as KC gets it done 28-27. We'll play a little game of buy low, sell high, as we always do on a Tuesday. Hasn't been the greatest year for trade recommendations, but last week, for example, we did say buy Isaiah Pacheco. And not that he's going off, but certainly a nice little ROI on that puppy. I do have some options for this week. It's mostly buy low. The number of sell high dudes dwindling, no question about it. We've got 6 weeks left of the fantasy regular season already. We will move onward and upward and look at week nine, as we always do on a Tuesday, with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data, currently in the data mining room. And he's got his goggles on, he's got a face mask, and he's mining for data right now as we speak. And he'll join us at the bottom of the hour. And then at the top, actually, no, right before we sign off, final segment will be our waiver wire pickups for week number nine. And once again, we're not doing any like major big picture moves these days because hardly anything sticks, but we're just going week to week with it. You know, you pick up one guy, use him for 2 weeks, he gets cold, drop him. That's what the waiver wire is these days. Well, we should mention the show is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. And another reminder to get your Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Well, let's break it down because it was another frustrating outing. We were 1 yard away from a winning night, and we were 1 yard and one catch away from a 4-1 night. This is also another example of getting pinched a little bit in that we're not really giving out picks for Monday Night Football on like Thursday or Friday. And as we outlined, me and Tom Brawley were on the same page with the Mariota prop. Unfortunately, we got it in at a lower number. So over at fantasypoints.com, I added three props yesterday morning to the site, three that I popped out here. I went 4-2, but we went 2-3 because the biggest one was the Mariota one, of course, 28.5, and it gets 28. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. We did get those design runs as expected. He led them in rushing, kind of as expected. Shout out to the grinder Tom Brawley for bringing up the Ja'Cory Kroski merit under. This is part of my psychological background that I do have a fear of taking unders because, again, with my luck, I know it sounds like I'm whining, but I'm basing it off of 30, 40 years. I just don't have it. Dudes rip off long runs, but he does not hit the over, so the under one there. The under didn't do that great in this one because we look at Terry McLaurin. A little fluky, let's be honest. Only catches three balls. He actually, I believe, goes over. One of the problems that I'm seeing is not only are these lines very, very good, they're low. And it's really hard, for example, for me to take Deebo Samuel. Now, I was correct in that I took the catch prop. He dropped that ball, or else we catch four. And maybe we get another one after, you know, if he doesn't have the drop, but we fall there. But the analysis was on point. He led the team in targets. He was tied with Zach Ertz, who was our other prop that did actually hit. So it's just another case of breaking down the schematics, figuring that out, anticipating the flow of the game, working with that, did all that, didn't really work out. And also correspondingly, figured that the Chiefs would be holding a lead. They were. thought they'd run the ball pretty well with Pacheco. They did, but we do not get to the Thursday night special price again. And once again, this is like the third, fourth time in a row where we're totally on the right track and we come a little short. He averaged 4.8 yards per carry. Kareem Hunt thought he'd be a little bit less of a factor, but he gets 9 carries. But I was kind of thinking that they're going to run the ball here. And they did, 148 yards. Kelce, though, couldn't go in on him. Not the greatest schematic matchup, but, you know, you throw it out oftentimes, especially in a nationally televised game when they were gunning to get him that tutty to tie the all-time record for most ever by a Kansas City Chief. Tied now with Priest Holmes. Rashee Rice should have took the over, but, you know, again, you worry just a touch about opportunity in the second half. They just spread the ball around, but Rice is unbelievable, catching all 9 of his targets. I did mention Worthy had a pretty good schematic matchup. Wish I took that over. He got the 27-yarder, which got him over the top, but unfortunately, it's hard to back him because other than that 27-yarder, that does count, he catches 4 balls for like 32 or something, not, you know, all that, very negligible. Hollywood Brown, maybe there's a guy that we just take unders on going forward. But, yeah, a little bit of a frustrating day, but end of the day, I'm a football guy. I try and analyze the football. I try and anticipate flow of the game and all that stuff. And, you know, we're a couple of times I'm off base, but always right on the right track. And at the very least, it's going to be interesting because a lot of these props, when they lose, they're all close. They're all close. But we have one more game before November is upon us. So I am, in fact, looking forward to just trying to basically zig when the NFL zags, because I think the NFL in November, we get into the doldrums a little bit. I know last year at this time, boy, those unders were hot. So we shall see how things go. I'm going to start working in 4 to 5 unders every single week. Otherwise, around the National Football League, light day in terms of the news and the notes, but we do have some things coming down the line. One thing I didn't really think about, and I think we should always do this, whenever you're wondering about a player, whether or not he'll play, check the schedule for the next week. Are they off that week? That could give them a reason to hold them out one more week to extend the time off. Or, like the case is in Baltimore with the Ravens, are they playing, this is last week, we're looking at Lamar playing week 8. Are they playing on a short week the next week? Well, the answer is yes. For the Baltimore Ravens, they are in Miami on Thursday night. So maybe that was part of the reason that they held Lamar out. Did win the game. I thought they would. They won by 2 tutties, but he is expected to start on Thursday. And I remember that bonanza that we had, that fantasy bonanza, what was that, 3 years ago, where everybody went just nuclear. We're not getting that on Thursday, but hey, Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle had it going on last week in a bad schematic matchup. They do play a lot of man coverage, so we could have a solid day here from Tua and maybe even a little Malik Washington action. Carson Wentz, boy, I saw this on Twitter, and man, you felt so bad for Carson Wentz because my man, season-ending shoulder injury, but he played with some horrific injuries for 1 to 2 games, and that's why it looked like every time I got hit, it looked like he was not going to make it, quite frankly, but he will make it, and shout out Carson Wentz. Thanks for your service, but it's JJ McCarthy o'clock. We shall see how that goes. It's quite fascinating. I am trying my best to stay as patient as possible, thinking long and hard about guys like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, written off after 1, 2, 3 years in the league, but now they're balling. Well, Baker, not the last couple of weeks, but you know what I mean. So I do think you got to take a long view on McCarthy. I'm not bailing at all on McCarthy long term, but it's clear that he's going to need some time here. He's going to need a minute to adjust to the speed of the game, and it would help. And NFL defenses, can we get the O line back? I know I've been crying about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. We may get 4 or 5 starters back in week 9. Sean McVay saying addressing Puka Nacua, and this was the plan. They had that bye last week, so it was looking like a one-week deal, and he is expected to practice and to play week 9 against the Saints. Dave Canales said that Bryce Young could return to practice tomorrow, which we're glad at this point. Now, I will admit, I was rolling with the narrative that it was just an incremental upgrade to Andy Dalton, but no. Andy Dalton, a veteran, and doing dumb rookie mistakes. So goodbye, Andy. Great career, but it's over for the Red Rifle. Took that sack last week. I'm screaming at the TV. I don't know why, but I wanted them to continue playing because I think it was the Khalil Shakir and the Dalton Kincaid problem. I'm like, yeah, Andy, don't stink. But he did. So I think we're happy to get Bryce Young back. Kyle Shanahan said it's too early to tell whether Brock Purdy will play in week 9. Pat Surtain, per our guy Adam Schefter, could be out a week or so, week to week technically. Drake London and Michael Penix will be day to day. Kellen Moore has not named a starting quarterback yet. Look at all these news and notes. Cardinals released Michael Carter, which is good because I wrote last week and this week that I'm all in on Bam. It's Bam or bust for the Cardinals backfield. Well, we'll talk a little buy low and sell high on the other side. I do have a player I just mentioned on the buy low list, so stay tuned for that and the rest of the hashtag analysis on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on Visa.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thinking of sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And you're done. If your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, though, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has, of course, year-round action on NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, and more. Head to better.app. That's BETR. Or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. And don't forget to use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. We did have one order of business that I did not get to in the last segment, but we started popping this out last week. We are adding to a DNP list for the rest of the year, and it's not did not practice, it's do not play in terms of the propage, not fantasy or anything else. DFS, God love you, good luck. But I'm out on these dudes. If you make the DNP list, maybe you'll start hitting props going forward, but I'm out just because it's not going for these players. Two additions this week. And it's really all about competition in the wide receiver room. Number one, Quentin Johnston. Obviously, Mr. Aronde Gadsden is, beyond coming on like gangbusters. Whatever is more powerful than gangbusters, that's how he's coming on. I don't know if that exists, but let's create a new word because this ascension by Aronde Gadsden, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I know it's only, three games? Or is it two? It's three, I believe. Even if it's just two. To be basically a non-factor, and then one day you get out of bed and, oh, wait a second, I'm a go-to guy. So they also have Keenan Allen and Ladd McConkey and just one football. So Quentin Johnston is a little boomer bust. He does have some limitations. He has improved overall. Seems to be catching the football a little bit better, but I'm just not doing it. Maybe there'll be a prop this week at 18.5 yards that's really tempting, I say, you know what? Just take a laissez-faire approach on Quentin Johnson, along with Matthew Golden, the rookie. I know he had a good schematic matchup in this game last week. They all did. And they all did okay, except for Golden, who does line up inside a lot. It's just not really happening. And now you've got Christian Watson back. So one of the top receiving groups to avoid, quite frankly, other than now at this point, Tucker Kraft. Because Tucker Kraft is in. All right, with that out of the way, we're no longer playing any Quentin Johnson or Matthew Golden props. By the way, not that I did this year, but I haven't and I won't for the rest of the year for reasons we just outlined. Next up, a little buy low, sell high. Pickings are getting a little slimmer, but always looking for angles and opportunities. So let's take a look at the buy low list for this week. Now, we have Quinshon Judkins on the list. We had this just a couple of weeks ago, quite frankly. And this is kind of how we have to play things. Just a small buying window, go do it. A sell window, go. You know, and then like maybe 2 weeks later, you sell and you're back after like two bad matchups, for example. But I do think we have maybe a tiny window that opened up coming out of week number 8. You know, he's coming off, I mean, what was it, 11 days ago, less than that, 10 days ago that he scored 3 touchdowns in week 7, but obviously horrible production in week 8. We all knew that was coming. He left the game with a shoulder injury, although head coach Kevin Stefanski said that he's day-to-day, so I would have to take that as good chance to play this week. And I do like the upcoming schedule for Quinshon Judkins in terms of good matchups and volume, like the Raiders this week, the Niners, you know, I mean, even the Texans ran on the Niners last week. Tennessee, they cannot stop, you know, a runny nose at this point. The Bears, I know they did a good job last week. They're getting a little bit better, but Judkins should get some volume there. Buffalo, good team. Terrible run defense. And then Pittsburgh, by then the whole team may have tested positive for Geritol because they're all old. So I think I like Quinshon Judkins here as a buy low. Here's one that I actually had in the VSiN betting guide where I did the article. I had 15 season-long props. And believe me, I'm checking in on that list almost every week because I want to get it right. One under I had was Dave Montgomery. We are looking good for the under right now. I think it's 775 yards, but it'll be tight. I do like a little bit of a buying opportunity here. Dave does have, you know, boy, he had that 151-yard game that really helped out his total because otherwise, this is why it was a good call this summer. 21, 24, 65, 12, 57, and 25 rushing yards. So he's only got 355. So like he's, I guess technically he's close. If he has a good game this week, he might actually be on track to hit it. But man, you take away that 151 yard game and let's give him maybe 50 in that game. My man's got like 250 rushing through 7 weeks. So that is why we're going to go knock on someone's door who has David Montgomery rostered and do some business because I do like this upcoming schedule based on matchup and volume, weather getting a little colder. I know they play a lot of the games indoors, but we've got a game in 2 weeks in DC, for example. That should be a game where Dave gets plenty of volume. They got the Vikings this week. They're dead. It's over. So they're going to get run on. In Detroit as well. Philly, not the greatest. Giants should be a good matchup. Green Bay, that should be decent. They would probably want to run the ball there. Dallas, not bad. Rams, Steelers, Vikings again. How about Marvin Harrison? Not that we've been enamored with him pretty much ever, quite frankly. I mean, I liked him going into his rookie year like everybody else. I had him pretty much where everybody else did, but I have been a little bit of a Kyler Murray hater and all that, and rightfully so. But we'll see if Kyler can play. Do I love this? Not necessarily, but if I am looking for a needle mover, stud player with a huge role, I mean, they don't grow on trees out there in the National Football League, and Marvin Harrison fits the bill. Up and down season, obviously, but maybe he's turned a little bit of a corner. You know, seems to be playing a little bit better with a little more confidence. I like the schedule here. Dallas, Seattle will be tough. San Fran, hey, start your guys against San Fran in the passing attack. They have no pass rush whatsoever. So that's a good matchup. Jacksonville, they stink overall. Tampa Bay, LA, believe that's the Rams. Houston, that's a bad one. Atlanta, Cincinnati. Overall, I thought this was a pretty good slate of games here. Drake London, nice little buying opportunity there. Patriots, that's not great, but he can be okay against them. Colts are good. Panthers are pretty good. Saints, Jets, Seahawks, Bucks, Cardinals, Rams. How about Mark Andrews? Schedule looks good. Miami, Minnesota, Cleveland, New York. There's very good schedule. You got Cincinnati twice here. I know Likely is in the mix. He could do well, but this is a good schedule. Brock Bowers. My angle here is obviously the value is down coming off the bye. We got to pull the plug on Geno. I'll do Aiden O'Connell if need be, or Kenny Pickett. Anyone but Geno. ABG, anyone but Geno. How about Ken Walker? It may not happen, but I think a change needs to be forthcoming here. I like the schedule. Enough of Zach Charbonnet and, you know, his mediocre yards per carry average. How about Ricky Pearsall? I know durability is a problem, but we can get Brock Purdy back. I like that. I like Terry McLaurin as well based on some of these matchups. Detroit, Miami, Denver, Minnesota, the Giants, Philadelphia, and Dallas. Some guys to consider moving. I don't have a big list here. That's why we waited till the very, very end of the segment. Don't have anything riveting here, but I am worried about Baker Mayfield, the way they're playing right now. And I don't love these next three matchups against New England, Buffalo, and the Rams. Brian Thomas Jr., I apologize for being into Brian Thomas Jr. this summer. The problem here is there is a lot of talk about Travis Hunter getting wide receiver one treatment going forward. And two of those Charger receivers, one of them on the DMP list, Quentin Johnston, and also not feeling warm and fuzzy about Keenan Allen. Always feel very good about our guy, Stephen O'Rourke, and the data that he brings to the table on a Tuesday. We'll check in with him and see what he has cooking for week 9 next here on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind Elite Soccer Analytics in the UK. Data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. Tip off the NBA season, VSiN offering a limited time free preview of the new NBA player prop projections. Check both versions out today at VSiN.com/NFL props and VSiN.com/NBA props. And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, where we talk NFL props and we talk propage and data every Tuesday at this exact time with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst over at Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data on the X Machine at CallMeSteve07. Great call last week on Tucker Kraft, Steve. And what's up? Ready for week 9?
Yeah, ready to rock it. I didn't end up staying all the way up for the game last night. I bowed out after the 16th inning. Did you end up making it all the way through?
I did, for sure. I think it was like 2:40 in the morning. Yeah, I mean, come on, had to do it. And believe it or not, I was so damn exhausted that normally when you watch something like that happen, you're like, you can't go to bed. I was asleep like 7 minutes after after Freddie hit it out. But let's get into it here. Onward and upward to week 9. And we were just talking off the air. I was a big DeAndre Swift person when he came out, but then I completely turned on him, and now I've been a hater for a couple of years, but I got to give it up. They're putting him in a pretty good spot there, using a lot of the outside zone, getting him in space, as we just discussed off the air. And he is running harder. This matchup here against Cincinnati, you are liking the data.
Yeah, he's kind of fallen right back into what he had with Ben Johnson when he was in Detroit, when they both were in Detroit. They have Menungai to be their inside guy, and DeAndre Swift stretches the boundaries on outside zone pitches, stuff like that. And the last three games, he's looked really good. He's averaging 6.3 yards per carry the last three games, which is fifth in the NFL. 4.68 yards before contact per attempt, which is first, which is also nuts, getting almost 5 yards down the field per carry before he even gets touched by anyone. And an 11.4% explosive run rate, which is second in the NFL. He's averaging 5.8 yards per carry on zone concept runs with a 61% success rate and 7 yards per carry on man gap concept runs. And it's about a 60-40 man zone split or zone man split. In the last 4 weeks, since he's been terrible against the run, they're giving up 2.76 yards before contact per attempt, which is 30th in the NFL the last 4 weeks. 5.46 yards per carry, which is 30th in the NFL. And they're giving up 6.31 yards per attempt and a 60% success rate to zone concept runs the last 4 weeks. So overall, it looks like a really good matchup for DeAndre Swift, especially because since he's been playing just bad. I thought last week was a really bad defensive effort, and I expect Chicago to take advantage of him.
I mean, the Jets do have a pretty good O-line and running game, but terrible offense overall, yet they still ran for 254. And by the way, I've got some thoughts on Isaiah Davis, who ripped off a 50-yard run there in that game against Cincinnati. So, and Swift is a big play threat down the sideline. Let's move on to another NFC, well, at least former, NFC North team and matchup. Sammy Laporta up against the Vikings, who had absolutely no answer. Zero for Arondé Gadsden last week. What do you see with Laporta in week 9?
Yeah, I kind of see a similar thing. A lot of the metrics kind of point to Amon-Ra having a good game, but that's just your standard at this point. But Sam Laporta lines up for what looks like a pretty good matchup this week. Minnesota runs a ton of two high. They're running like nearly 70% two high this season, and they're top two in the league in it. And Sam Laporta sees a boost in his target share and yards per out run against two high. His target share jumps to 21.5% against two high coverage compared to 17.4% overall. And he averages 2.41 yards per route run against two high coverage, which again is a bump from two yards per route run overall for him. And Minnesota blitzes quite a bit. He averages 2.57 yards per route run against the blitz. And Minnesota's allowing an 85% completion percentage and 7.26 yards per attempt to inline targets. So that coupled with Minnesota likes to go base defense a lot, and Detroit will run a lot of multiple tight end sets with Brock Wright and Laporta. And, you know, out of 12, 13 personnel, Laporta's averaging 3.44 yards per route run. And Minnesota's giving up 74% completion percentage at 12, 13 personnel targets. So overall, I think Sam Laporta has a good day. Secondary, I think Amon-Ra leads the way, but I think Sam Laporta is their number two target throughout the game this week.
Yeah, they'll probably get outclassed, the Vikings, by the reigning NFC North champs. So I've already waved the white flag on the Vikings. We'll see you next year, guys. But let's move on to Alec Pierce. I remember going to the Senior Bowl with our guy Brett Whitefield 3 years ago, and I'm like, yeah, I like this Alec Pierce. Now, might be a little bit of a one-trick pony in terms of just the downfield stuff, but, man, that's one heck of a trick because this guy is damn near unstoppable downfield, and I am not worried at all about the Steeler corners these days. Darius Slay, Ramsey. Obviously, these guys are, and Porter is even been humid. What do you see here data-wise with Alec Pierce?
Yeah, Alec Pierce is finally kind of fleshing out to what he was supposed to be. I remember, you know, you guys going to the Senior Bowl. It was a lot of talk about how, you know, that crazy downfield speed, he can get open vertically. we'll see what happens. For the longest time, he was kind of just the sprinter out there. It was not a lot of targets, yeah. But just run a lot of go routes, a lot of get out of here routes. But it's finally leading to targets. He looks a lot better this year. And the last three games, he's been starting to explode a little bit. He has a 30% target share against single high coverage the last three games, and 0.37 targets per route run. So, you know, for like 37% of the times, if he runs a route, he's getting a target. And then he's averaging 4.9 yards per route run against single high the last 3 weeks. Steelers run a ton of single high. They run 63.2% single high, which is fifth in the NFL. And they give up 71.3% completion percentage, which is 31st, and 8.94 yards per attempt, which is 26th. Two receivers lined up wide. Alec Pierce runs most of his routes out wide. He usually runs about 90% of his routes out there. And the Steelers have also allowed 135.4 passer rating on passes 20 plus yards down the field. Alec Pierce, in my opinion, is turned into the best deep ball receiver in the NFL. So I think that this is a week where, I mean, the Indy offense is rolling. Pittsburgh's defense doesn't look great. I think that it starts to open up play action. Man coverage, Alec Pierce can get loose deep, and I think that he sees quite a few opportunities this week.
Do you know who Alec Pierce is starting to look like? Or maybe do you know who this player I'm going to say is starting to look like Alec Pierce? It's Kayshon Booty, in terms of being arguably two or three of the most deadly downfield receivers in this league. And in that game with Drake May, his boy, you like the rushing prop with Drake May up against the Atlanta Falcons. And I guess the single highs probably means it's another good schematic matchup for Booty.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I think this is going to be a big week for Drake May again. I think it lines up really well schematically. A quarterback like him can usually crush single high, and that both goes passing and running. Drake May has shown he likes to run the ball a little bit against single high. He has the most rushing attempt or scramble attempts against single high coverage at 18, and he's taking that for 162 yards, so that, you know, about 9 yards a carry almost. And Atlanta's allowing 9.6 yards per attempt against scrambles this season, which is fifth worst in the NFL. Atlanta gets good pressure around the edges. They're a little bit they're not as great up the middle. I think that'll give Drake May some lanes to escape. I think it just gives him an opportunity to take off and run. I think he has a big week again. I think it's all, you know, in fifth gear the rest of the season for him, and their schedule looks so favorable. But I think this week I think you could see him go for 40, 50 plus yards.
You also like Mark Andrews against Miami. Of course, we all play tight.
Yeah. Listen, it's
Miami. I mean, Kyle Pitts even did well, but we do have to run, Steve. So you can maybe IM me your thoughts, but we'll put it on record. Mark Andrews up against Miami, and we'll have plenty of data and analysis on that for Thursday's game. But great stuff, as always, sir. We do need to run, but Stephen O'Rourke joins us every Tuesday with the good stuff. We will talk waiver wire on the other side, but first, you got it. If you think you know sports, start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge is turned into cash. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. When you do deposit, you can get that 50% deposit match up with $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play at better.app. Use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. Waiver wire picks next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Final segment on a Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in per usual. And I am John Hansen, 30 plus years as a fantasy analyst, a fake football analyst. So I have been doing this for a while, since I was 26 years old. And spoiler alert, I'm no longer in my 20s. I know that's a shock. But we will look at the waiver wire now and look and see what I see popping out there. Pretty obvious. Had a gentleman at my house today doing some construction work who has Tyrone Tracy and is feeling pretty good about it. No offense to Cam Scataboo, but if you were stashing Tyrone Tracy, good for you. You're in business. He's only rostered in, well, he's still available in just over 50% of Yahoo leagues. Now, he's not going to completely own the backfield because, well, Devin Singletary, a.k.a. the Fantasy Cockroach. You can't get rid of this guy. He is pretty darn good. And I say that as a compliment, by the way, because he might actually get to 100-plus carries somehow for the seventh year in a row, three different teams, because they will look to run the ball and they will try and stay ahead of the down as much as they can. They'll work him in there, but it's Tyrone Tracy's job, obviously. He was the number one coming out of training camp. Scataboo was hurt for most of training camp. So Tyrone Tracy was the starter week one over Scataboo, and Devin Singletary was squarely the third. So, you know, Tracy's still the guy. Shamir DK for the Tennessee Titans. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed by this guy the last couple of weeks. And I thought that Elik Iemanar was going to hold it down all year. And, you know, he's just not making plays. Whereas DK, I mean, he looks like he's a 3-4 year pro out there. Looks like he's got a pretty good chemistry with fellow rookie Cam Ward. I trust him more than Calvin Ridley right now. I don't know what's going to happen with Calvin Ridley, but I could tell you this. I think DK needs to start over Iemanar in two wide receiver sets if Calvin Ridley does return. But hey, all I'm saying is I think there's a chance that DK settles into being the guy for the Tennessee Titans because he is the future, and they let, you know, they just cut Tyler Lockett last week. Next up, he's been on the list before, unfortunately, but we gave him mad love that week coming out of week one or two because we thought maybe we see something here, and then a couple of so-so games, but man, Kayshon Booty, he has been boom or bust, but lately business has been booming with his boy Drake May. As I mentioned before, it's very impressive in a world where teams don't make big plays anymore. You know, it's like I miss them. The great Al Davis, if he was around, he'd be unhappy, no doubt about it, because we love the downfield throws. But look at the longs. This is amazing. Playing with a second-year quarterback in this league, long of 39, 39, 29, 19, 18, 20, 16, 24. Wow. So, I mean, clearly that he's the shot play guy and he's balling. He is a guy that I have been fortunate enough to interview. As I mentioned, I got a good vibe off of him because he was a little on shaky ground at that time. Had some off the field and I was like, wow, I'm going to interview Kayshon Booty. Okay. And then he came up to me and I was like, yeah, I like this guy. So good vibe there. Bam Knight. And they just released Michael Carter. So Amiri DeMarcado, not happening. Perhaps he can have a career as an opera singer after he retires. But I think it's all Bam Knight in this backfield until Trey Benson is back. Not only that, and they were off last week, he's the early down back. He's going to be the goal line back. But he also catches the ball. He had, I believe, four targets in their last game. So Bam Knight is not too shabby. Darius Slayton. You know, I've been putting him on here for weeks. No one really cares. Maybe you'll care about this. He had a 68-yard touchdown last week called back on a pretty shaky OPI call, offensive pass interference. And he's going to be needed to step up more than ever with Cam Scataboo out, obviously. And look, outside receiver, still in his prime, pretty proven. They need a big play guy, obviously. They need explosiveness. And he also gets a lot of these crossing route plays where he's got opportunities for run after the catch. Next up, Jalen Noel. Full disclosure, as we've mentioned, I do like Isaiah Higgins. I've mentioned this a million, or Jaden Higgins. I've mentioned this a million times. I like both of these guys, but I like Noel the most. And Noel was actually on my player target list, believe it or not, even though I knew he was buried on the depth chart in the summer. But I think he's a baller in the Amon-Ra St. Brown mold. not as strong probably, but maybe a little quicker than Amon-Ra. So he's got a lot of juice. He's an ascending player with a bright future. Still playing behind or alongside Braxton Berrios because, you know, you can't stop Braxton Berrios. You can only hope to contain him. But I do like Jalen Nowell as, again, a future star, ascending player. Get him now. They could start leaning on him because he is their best receiver this year. Over Nico Collins, I know that's a kind of an outrageous statement, but in a small sample that Nowell has played, I think he has been more impressive than Nico. Not that he's going to outproduce him or anything like that, but and I do know that Christian Kirk is still in the mix, but he could be a little shaky to play like this week and maybe even next with that hamstring, whereas with Nico, he was in the protocol last week. I would imagine he'll get out of that. Next up, it's a disaster in the Titan backfield, but I've always been a Tajay Spears guy, another guy I was able to sit down with at his combine. Love him. He's one of these dudes who just – he just intuitively is a football mind. He told me a couple of years ago that invariably he'll be asked about plays, you know, afterward, watching it on film, and he always defaults to the right thing. Like he – finds the right gap. You know, he is patient to the hole on some play. He's just really good. And last week he ripped off a 41 yarder where, wow, he was flying. So yeah, it's week to week, but Spears a good player. He's caught 3+ balls in 3 straight games. He's got a little bit of an eye for the end zone and he's got more juice than Pollard. Speaking of juice, I'm telling you right now, if the Jets somehow trade Breece Hall, which I don't know why they wouldn't consider it. There's only 9 games left on his rookie deal. I'm telling you right now, Isaiah Davis, another Senior Bowl guy, by the way. This is why I go to the Senior Bowl. This guy is shot out of a cannon, and he had a 50-yard burst last week, just like Spears. I think he'll be a major compiler. I know the offense is pretty craptastic, but if Breece Hall is in fact moved, Isaiah Davis is getting 20 touches, and he'll almost be a must-start. Troy Franklin, driving me crazy. The week before, we lost a prop. Couldn't get to 31 yards on 10 targets. But then last week, what did he do? 6 grabs for 89 and 2 touchdowns. It is annoying, but if you look at his 2 big games, it's like week 2 or week 3 and last week, just illustrating the ceiling, those 2 ceiling games for Franklin, 50.9 fantasy points. Only one receiver in those 2 weeks had more, Ja'Marr Chase. So the floor is palatable, and the ceiling is actually pretty good. Next up here, and last on the list, is Mr. Mason Taylor. He's on this list every week. Nobody cares that he's good and that they need him and all that. Still not rostered in 70% of Yahoo leagues. I understand to an extent. The offense stinks. Justin Fields, pretty terrible. Wasn't terrible last week, though. And maybe between Fields and Tyrod, we can get a decent play. I will throw out a couple of other names here, not on a list. Tank Bigsby, if you have Saquon, get him. He's the handcuff. Malik Washington, if 8 or 9 points will appease you, that's probably the floor at this point. My guy J.J. McCarthy, I know it's probably going to be ugly, but I think we can, you know, produce while learning on the job. But also Colston Loveland, he's got the Bengals this week. That is the matchup. So if I needed some juice at tight ends, I would go with Colston Loveland just for this week. And if I needed some more entertainment, infotainment, I would stay tuned to VSiN because right after we sign off, it's Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. Adam Burke will be here to share his World Series best bets. And JVT brings the latest market movement from the NBA. Followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern, and then VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Matt Humans at 7. That'll wrap it up. That's a show. What'd you do today? We talked waiver wire. We talked trade. We talked other things. That's a show. Tomorrow, we'll talk wide receiver corner matchups. We'll chop it up with Brent Whitefield. We'll look at the point totals for week 9 and more. Until then, have a great night. We'll catch you mañana for another edition of Pop Points here on VSiN. Go Dodgers.